Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Bobby Sylvester, and we've got a show on Bus to Avoid with Mike Wright in just a minute, but first I want to tell you about YourRules.com. Before you just use the same commissioner service as always, there's a hot new site that's offering some incredible new customizable features. Instead of just set it and forget it now, with YourRules.com you've actually got the ability to manage the outcome of your weekly matchups. This is the first site out there to offer a fantasy experience much closer to how a real football game is managed. I'll definitely be using their site this year to take advantage of some of these features. To learn more about in-game substitutions, points for penalty yardage, and the unique ability to handle injuries, head over to YourRules.com and register for the 2017 NFL season. Your Rules is fantasy sports your way. That's www.YourRules.com. All right, let's talk some football. Welcome back to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. I'm Bobby Sylvester, as always, with Mike Tagliere. Hey, Tags, how's it going, man?
It's going better than you guys. I mean, I should say worse than you guys. Before we started the show today, these two that are here with me were talking about life with a 2- and a 3-year-old and how it's not great. Well, let me tell you, I have a 6.5-month-old, and he got up every hour and a half last night. So that's my life while my wife is working overnights as a nurse. So I get up, and as soon as she gets home in the morning, like 7:30, she brings me coffee, I get up, and I start working. So my life is, it's fantastic despite not getting any sleep.
I did not say it wasn't great. Life with a 2- and 3-year-old is amazing. It's just, you know, there's some hard times. So anyway, our guest today is Mike Wright, the Hitman of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. You can find him on Twitter at FFHitman. Mike, thanks for joining us.
Not a problem, fellas. I appreciate the re-invite. Apparently the first appearance went well enough that we made it back on the show. And Tags, I got some advice for you. Make sure you get some pictures of your face right now, because in a couple years you're gonna look back at those pictures and go, "What happened to my face?"
He already did that like 12 years ago.
No, so Mike, it's funny. My daughter is, she's 14, about to be 15, going on like 25. So
right.
Instead of looking at my face is all right. But instead of looking at that, I look at my hair, and my hair is gone. And I don't know what happened to it. And you know, but who better to talk to about hair than you? I mean, you cut it off recently, man.
I did.
I got to give you props for that, dude. Because if I had your hair, I would appreciate it. I would caress it. I'd wash it all the time, maybe 3 times a day. It's fantastic, man. But it was for a good cause. I know that.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. Yeah, I did. Had to cut it off.
So, guys, I have a big announcement. I'm going to be trying out for the Jaguars quarterback job tomorrow. Everyone can wish me luck. I probably won't be needing it. If I can just effectively tie my shoes, I think I'll win the job by default, right, Tex?
Wait a minute. Now you're going to bag on Bortles now that it's okay to. I was telling Mike before we got in here, I was like, I am going to rag on Bobby today,
you know,
so
I was
bad.
I was hoping you'd just let it slip by. Maybe I could act like I never was a fan of Bortles. Look, when you're in this industry, you're going to be wrong a lot of the time. Hopefully it's only like 20% of the time or something. That's better than the industry. With that being said, you know, you've got to admit when you're wrong. And Blake Bortles is horrible. What in the world was that, guys?
He's been horrible despite his performance last night.
I thought like it was just because he was hurt. I thought there was an actual excuse. It turns out that you're right, Tags.
Yeah, no, Mike, what was your take on Bortles? I mean, I've been sour on him. Bobby, I think last show Bobby said he was going to be a QB1, so we're obviously at a divide here.
My opinion on him was if he was the starter for all 16 games, we referred to him during the offseason as your emergency quarterback parachute, that you know that if you go extremely late in your draft, people are not drafting Blake Bortles, and he's going to get production. But it seems like Jacksonville's finally ready to pull the plug on him because his excuse is that he's just bad. I mean, I guess that can be a real legit excuse. You're like, oh, I'm just not good at this. And they're going to move on to Chad Henne, who is slightly better.
No, I mean, he's just as bad, and he can't run. It's got to be Brandon Allen. It's the only hope. I mean, maybe he's the 30th best quarterback in the NFL. That would be better, right?
Well, you can always compare yourself to Jared Goff, so don't worry about that.
You're right about that.
Oh, man, what a way to start off the show, talking about Blake Bortles and his inefficiencies as a quarterback. Man, this is going to be a good show, and I think it's quite fitting for the topic, right, Bobby?
Yeah, it is. We're going to be talking about Avoid the Bus. Also, guys, I saw a poll on Twitter this morning by one of the guys over at CBS Sports. I forget which one, so sorry about that. But anyways, more people said they liked Devontae Parker in this poll over Allen Robinson this year now. What kind of bizarro universe are we living in, Mike?
That was dumb.
That's Jay Cutler's world, man. Smoking Jay Cutler. He comes in.
He called him a faster Alshon, so I guess they're just believing anything Jay Cutler says.
Well, for me, I'm not the hugest Devontae Parker believer. I know he's got raw athletic talent, but that's what he is. It's been raw. The guy, you can tell that he is not committed to becoming a great wide receiver. But Jay Cutler fixes a lot of that stuff when he's just going to pepper you in targets. And it's very, very small sample. I completely get that. But we at least have a glimmer of what Jay Cutler could have in store. So Devontae Parker will actually be moving up my draft board of seeing what Cutler has done in the past. And yeah, he did. He complimented Parker, saying he's like Alshon, but faster. So I could quickly be pushing all my chips on Devontae Parker if the rest of the preseason goes that way.
Yeah, he moved up my board too. He went from number 85 to 75, but Allen Robinson's like number 40, right? I mean, how is he going to jump 45 spots in one preseason game, Tags?
It was dumb. Like that poll was like, I saw the poll you were talking about and I actually voted on it. I voted Allen Robinson at the time.
Yes.
It was 52% Allen Robinson. I'm like, this shouldn't be that close. But with that being said, I do like Parker. He's a third year wide receiver. That's 10, you know, despite the narrative, wide receivers second and third year is when they tend to break out. All the positive things we've heard about Parker this offseason from Adam Gase, the same coach, the coach that was ripping into him last year. So there's things here, but here's a stat I have for you guys. If Cutler is going to target him, it's very, very, very good for Parker. And the reason is there have been 13 career games in which Devontae Parker has seen at least five targets. Okay. If he sees at least five targets in those games, he averages 4.5 receptions for 70 yards and almost half of a touchdown. That amounts to 9.4 fantasy points per game in standard leagues. That would have been tied with Michael Crabtree as the number 14 fantasy wide receiver last year in points per game. So for me, Parker, I mean, I was never a huge Alshon Jeffrey fan. I felt like a lot of it was volume. So for me, for Jay Cutler to say that Devontae Parker's a faster Alshon, that tells me he's going to target him, and he's going to target him often. So for me, Devontae Parker did move up, but I'm not going to move ahead of Allen Robinson, guys. I think we can all agree here that after now, just now that everybody's acknowledging how bad Blake Bortles is, it's really, really impressive what Allen Robinson was able to do in 2015. So considering who his quarterback was, right? I think that's what we should take away from all this, right?
Yeah,
it's not a bad take. Not a bad take.
So LeGarrette Blount was terrible last night.
Yes.
He's been someone that I've been saying is safe. Talk about someone who could be a bust. I mean, I think there's a chance Wendell Smallwood takes over the job, right, Tex?
There's definite possibility. LeGarrette Blount looks slow and big, and he's over 30 years old.
I mean, he did last year, too, but...
Yeah, it didn't look good, man. I don't think he looks great in that offense. You know, you and I have gone back and forth, and I said that I may have been too low on LeGarrette Blount, but after watching him last night a little bit, I'm not really ready to move him up at all.
This amazing offensive line the Eagles have. I mean, his first two carries, he got hit 6 yards behind the line of scrimmage and 4 yards behind the line of scrimmage. I don't know what's going on with that. I'm curious what you think about Pumphrey, Mike. Does he have any shot, or is he just a Sproles clone?
Yeah, for me, Pumphrey's just that Darren Sproles role they got. They seems like they love Darren Sproles, and rightly so. I mean, Darren Sproles is a transcendent player for his stature, and I think just moving forward, they wanted to ensure that they had a player that can do those types of things, because as we know, Darren Sproles has said this will be his final year. So I don't expect Pumphrey to move the needle at all when it comes to fantasy football this particular season. I still have the belief that LeGarrette Blount will be the guy. I have no faith in Wendell Smallwood. He is just a guy. If anyone is able to kind of push LeGarrette Blount for carries, I'm looking at the bottom. I'm looking at Corey Clement.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
He scored last night.
Yeah, Corey Clements looked impressive to me, and he's just kind of been buried on the depth chart. They haven't been talking about him, but yeah, I think he could be the most talented running back in that backfield.
Well, I mean, now that Ryan Matthews is gone, he is.
Yeah, you're darn right. Free Ryan Matthews. Free him.
Oh, man, he's got to be picked up. I think at some point Ryan Matthews has got
to
get picked
up.
He
needs to go back to the Chargers.
He might. I mean, that wouldn't be a bad fit. I mean, I just don't know if they're ready to timeshare with Melvin Gordon and Brandon Oliver and whatever else they're doing there. So
yeah, look out for Baltimore. Terrence West was pretty much a wreck last night.
Terrence West is the worst starting running back in the NFL.
Yeah, well, that's why Ryan Matthews might end up there.
Yeah, that'd be a nice fit, too. I'd like to see D'Angelo Williams get a crack there. I don't know why these guys aren't being signed.
I don't know. D'Angelo Williams said he has, like, 6 teams on his will-not-sign list. Like, he will not go to certain teams. I don't know who those teams are. He never
released
it. The
Rams. So it's 5 mystery teams. The Rams is one of them.
Oh, man.
You know who looked awesome last night? This is my last takeaway from the game. Doug Martin. Oh, man. They've been saying he's looked great. All the reports have been glowing. But I'll tell you what, seeing him on the field, this is a running back one when he's back.
The thing about Doug Martin is this happened a couple years ago, the 2 years ago, when we had all written him off. And in preseason, you're watching him going, wow, he actually kind of looks like good Doug Martin, and he still fell in drafts. But for me, taking Doug Martin in the fourth round or so, where you're seeing him going, the suspension of the 3 games, still a high possibility of not actually being that good when he comes back.
Or the starting running back, like maybe Jaquizz Rodgers just takes over.
Yeah, that's in the realm of possibilities. I still think Martin will get the opportunity, and we've also seen Doug Martin is like the worst kind of injury prone, where that's not the right phrase to say, but when he gets hurt, he continues to play if he gets any kind of leg injury, but his efficiency just goes absolutely down the toilet,
right.
But he keeps playing, and you keep playing Doug Martin because you know what he can do when he's healthy, instead of like Ryan Matthews. Ryan Matthews is at least a decent enough NFL player to just miss time, and then you can replace him with somebody else.
Oh my God, where is this show gone today? We're talking about all these running backs. Like, I don't know, Doug Martin to me is someone, like, he's so polarizing because he has 5 seasons under his belt, right? 2 of those seasons have produced 1,400 or more rushing yards. Like, that's a resume that only Adrian Peterson can share with him, right, over the last 5 years. But he also has 3 seasons with fewer than 500 rushing yards, right? Injuries have contributed to that, but he's a very up-and-down player, so if he is looking good again, I'm willing to buy. But again, you know, you talked about it. The 3-game suspension is massive. I mean, I guess if you can lock him up in the 5th round and then you grab Jaquizz Rodgers, you know, late in drafts, because he's not even being drafted in some leagues. So I guess it's not a horrible strategy, but I don't know. The Bucs offensive line isn't great either. So there's questions about Doug Martin still.
I'm a big Doug Martin fanboy. I have been all preseason. It hasn't changed. When he was going in the 9th round, I was so pumped to take him in the 7th. I actually moved him up to the 6th round. That is as far as I'm going. I'm taking him at the end of the 6th round. If anyone wants to be an idiot in my league and take him earlier than that, they can, but it's not going to be me.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's the thing is, like, we get to these dead rounds. There's certain spots, like the third round right now is like a dead area in drafts. I think once you get to that sixth round area, that's kind of that fifth, sixth round range is like kind of like that too. So for me, I Doug Martin, you can convince me in the fifth round if Doug Martin's going to be that 1,400 yard running back again, that then he's well worth a fifth round pick. So DeSean Jackson can do wonders for an offense. I don't know if anybody realizes this, the effect that DeSean Jackson has. I released an article the other day, and I wanted to bring it up, is that every quarterback, and it's like a list of seven quarterbacks that DeSean Jackson has played with, like significant time, at least like three games. I think that was the cutoff I used. Every single quarterback averages like, it's like at least 0.3 more yards per attempt. It's something ridiculous.
Wow, that's really DeSean weird. That's
it
cool.
Is, and it's not, and it's every quarterback. So Jameis Winston should see an increase, whereas Kirk Cousins should see a decrease this year with the way that historically it's gone with DeSean Jackson. So it should open up the offense a little bit, force a safety to stay out of the box. And so Doug Martin, again, I'm not in love with Doug Martin, but at the same time, I'm not in love with many players at that range. So
everyone at home or in their car or train, wherever you guys are listening, we have two contests going on right now. The Listener League and the Melvin Gordon signed jersey giveaway from pristineauction.com. That ends this Sunday. We'll be picking 17 listeners to join Tags, Dan Harris, and last year's winner in a really unique type of league. Check out my pinned tweet at Bobby Fantasy Pro if you want the details on how to enter the Listener League. As for the signed jersey giveaway, all we're looking for is a screenshot of your review and subscription on iTunes. It takes about 15 seconds. Then send it to us at contest@fantasypros.com. We're going to draw a winner again this Sunday, so make sure to get them in. It also enters you into all future giveaways for the season. Okay, guys, let's talk about some busts. And we're going to be doing this in a roundtable like the other shows we've been doing lately. Well, we'll start at running back, move on to wide receiver, then hit up quarterbacks and tight ends. Tags, you get to go first today. Who's one of your running back busts?
Awesome. So, you know, I want to be clear on this because, you know, when I'm sure Michael agree and Bobby will agree with me is that every player at a certain point in draft has value, right?
Yes.
I mean, I don't like DeMarco Murray this year, but if he falls into the third round, I'll take him there, right? So
bingo.
Keep that in mind when you're listening to hear that these are players we're avoiding at their current cost. So when talking about this, Frank Gore is someone who will not be on my fantasy teams. Everybody wants to throw out that Gore has finished as a top 12 fantasy running back in each season with the Colts. Well, Gore did finish as the number 12 running back last year, but if you look at how he did it, it's an extremely hollow finish. Over the final seven games of the year, Gore totaled just 434 yards on 118 carries, which is 3.68 yards per carry, with zero touchdowns. Robert Turbin started getting the goal line work for him. Gore actually has scored with the Colts 10 touchdowns on 523 carries. That's every 52 carries for those, you know, who struggle with math. Robert Turbin.
Hey, by the way, I'm going to stop you. That's just as many touchdowns as Melvin Gordon in the last 2 years and the same amount of yards per carry.
Oh, snap.
Oh, Bobby had to throw that in there. Turbin has scored seven touchdowns on 47 carries in 2016 alone. Obviously, that's a much better number. It's under seven carries per touchdown. That's not the end all be all. Gore was a phenomenal player in this league, guys, for a really long time, but his time has passed. The Colts need to move on. They need to start giving some touches to Marlon Mack. You know, once they start the regular season, Andrew Luck gets going. Frank Gore is just a player that even if he produces like he did last year, it's going to be good enough to finish fourth place.
Yeah. Well, here's my thing about Frank Gore, okay? I'm not saying he's going to be a top 12 running back this year. I'm not saying he's going to be a top 18 or top 24 running back. I'm saying he's going to overachieve his ADP, which is running back number 32. Even if he takes a monster step backwards, like, he's still a top 30 running back, right, Mike?
Yeah, he is for me, and I'm perfectly fine grabbing a starting running back for a high-scoring offense. Now, the news about Kelly is really detrimental, and probably more so than people anticipate, that when you lose your starting center, bad things happen to the running game. So that's a huge hit for him, but you can't find very many guys who are going to be over 200 touches at the running back position that late. I get the argument that maybe he's not that consistent. Tags, I'm well with you on that one, and that Turbin became that goal line vulture, but he's going to touch the ball. He still has juice to me, and is in that range where it who else are you going to grab at that point? You're grabbing, you know, threes and fours for your team, and they're definitely not starters.
Well, I mean, wouldn't you guys rather take Derrick Henry than someone
no
like Frank Gore?
That's way.
Who I, that's
no.
in that
no
range.
Way.
In that range, I would take Derrick Henry.
I love Derrick Henry, but no, I'm taking Frank Gore still, unless I've already got three clear-cut starting running backs.
See, I completely disagree on DeMarco Murray. He's a top five running back for me. I think he was incredible last year. I think that they will continue
in the first half.
No, he was incredible until
the first 10 games.
Okay, so finally, you guys go through the consistency and look at other running backs and how they did. Besides right. David Johnson,
he was
Le'Veon
incredible
Bell.
In the first 16 games, but not after that.
Yeah, look, he was very good. He was a very strong fantasy running back last year, and I don't see why they would move away from that. You have an old school coach there who's I think will continue to he will. Grind the wheels off of DeMarco Murray before they unleash Derrick Henry. Grabbing a backup running back in the sixth round who is – it's not even Tevin Coleman where it's kind of a 1B situation. Last year it was DeMarco Murray until the foot problem towards the end of the year. So I'm still fully in on Murray, and I'm not even thinking about Derrick Henry at his current ADP.
His current ADP is nuts.
So wait a second, hold on. Doesn't this come down to roster construction in the end? Like where if you have an all risky team, like let's say through the first five rounds you've drafted nothing but upside players, drafting Gore is like a consistency guy, I get that. But like if I'm drafting guys that I'm like my best player available and I know they're going to produce for me in the top five rounds and I get to the sixth round and I want someone who can legitimately win a league for you, Derrick Henry's that guy. And like I said, DeMarco Murray's going to have value. I think they're going to continue to run the ball. I think people are overestimating Marcus Mariota this year a little bit. But at the same time, we did see him struggle over the final 6 weeks. You know, you mentioned the foot thing. That was obviously part of it. But averaging, you know, 3.5 yards per carry over the final 6 weeks, scoring one touchdown. Meanwhile, Derrick Henry averaging over 5 yards per carry, scoring four touchdowns in that time. You know, Derrick Henry is on the up tempo of his career, whereas DeMarco Murray is now 29 years old. In the study I did this offseason, it shows running backs when they hit 29, that's like the wall where things start to trend downward. We've already seen DeMarco Murray this offseason. He has a soft tissue injury. He's been missing practice time. That's why Derrick Henry started the game last week. I'm not saying that DeMarco Murray is completely going to go away. I just think that this is much more of a timeshare than people think. And if DeMarco Murray does in fact miss time, Derrick Henry is a lock as an RB1 every single week. And you cannot say that about Frank Gore, no matter how many injuries happen.
If Murray was hurt, I would consider Derrick Henry a top five running back.
Yes, I can be on board with that if something happens to Murray. But you got to be careful when you're comparing the starter's yard per carry to the backup. I mean, let's look at – just go back to last year.
Defensive packages.
C.J. Anderson versus Devontae Booker. Booker is just gouging defenses. You're like, come on, man. This is – put Booker in. And then Booker gets his opportunity, and he's absolute garbage. Not saying Henry is garbage by any stretch, but just saying when you're comparing the starter to the backup, you got to be – you got to have some caution.
No, and I agree with you 100%. Well, first, Devontae Booker is just bad at football, but
yeah,
but in terms of that, I wanted to throw out this stat though too, is because DeMarco Murray and Derrick Henry, in terms of stacked boxes that they saw last year, Derrick Henry on 53% of his carries had eight or more in the box, which means it was the most in the NFL among legitimate running backs. DeMarco Murray was high at 48%, but usually the reason the backups have a higher yards per carry is because the defensive packages that they're going up against are a lot lighter. You know, they're in a passing down or whatever the case may be. Whereas Derrick Henry did not receive that treatment. When he was on the field, defenses were loading the box. And he averaged, it was 4.3 yards per carry on those carries, whereas DeMarco Murray was still solid, 3.95 in that same situation. But again, I just think that there's one on the clear, you know, uptrend in his career and one that's going to be sloping down. And
yeah,
they're both going to be valuable, I think. That's my take.
You know, a quarter of top 12 running backs are going to be hurt or lose their job somehow after week 12. It happens every single year. I think Henry's the most likely. With that being said, it's still just 25% chance he's that top five guy, and that's huge. But you don't take a guy like that in the sixth round. You wait for him in the ninth. If he's there, awesome, I'm happy. But sixth round, no way.
All right, Mike, let's hear it. Who do you got at running back? Who are you staying away from?
All right, I'm going to stay away from a guy. And I get it. It's tough to stay away from this particular player because his volume is guaranteed. He was top five in total touches at the running back position last year. except that did not translate into fantasy production. I'm talking about Todd Gurley. I'm not buying into the regime change fixing everything for Gurley. I'm not buying into that they have at least improved their offensive line. And Todd Gurley, to me, is, I think he's talented, but I'm not sure, like, I'm not fully convinced yet that he can be a great running back in the NFL. Maybe I'm getting really hot takey here. I get that. But what has he really done in his career? And it's short, but he burst on the scene, was looked unstoppable for his first four games or so. After that, it's been bad. I mean, he's low yards per carry. Like I talked about, he was top five in total touches at the running back position. The other four, they were all top five fantasy running backs in David Johnson, Zeke Murray, and Lev Bell. And there you have Todd Gurley, who's under 4 yards a carry on a bad offense.
He was
number
17, right? He was the single least efficient runner in the NFL last year.
Exactly. Top five in touches, running back 17. And while he didn't kill you by any means, I mean, he's lingering around that running back too, so he's still startable. You had to pay up a first-round pick, and people are still willing to pay up a second-round pick, hoping that Sean McVay can turn things around for him. I'm not buying into that. I don't think that the upside is there despite the volume. And that's such an oxymoron, right? Because we know that the volume is the king of fantasy football. But for Todd Gurley and his situation, I'm not paying up for him, calling for the bounce back.
Tag said this last show, and I agree with him. I think his floor is running back 17. He's still going to get all those touches, and that's a pretty good floor. I mean, that's a better floor than we can say for Jay Ajayi or Jordan Howard, in my opinion. And Todd Gurley, we've seen it. He can be a superstar running back. He can be a top four running back in this league. And I think that's also better than you can say for Ajayi and Jordan Howard. I think he has a higher floor and a higher ceiling than both of those two. What do you think, Tags?
That's the thing is, like, you know, you said it, Mike, and some people are willing to pay a second round price tag. But looking at the second round, whenever I get into the middle of the second round, it's staring at this board that I don't really like very much. You know, it's the same reason that Amari Cooper's a second round pick, right? He doesn't feel right in the second round. But at the same time, when you're comparing him to his peers in that same, you know, territory, it's a problem, right? So when I own some Todd Gurley shares in the second round, and the reason I do that is because if we remove the expectations from Todd Gurley and just take away the name, we take away his 2015 season, and we just look at, you know, strictly performance. You know, we expected a lot out of the number one pick last year, understandably so. But at the same time, in my boom bust and everything in between article I released this week, you know, Todd Gurley is a guy, it took 11.5 PPR points to finish as an RB2 on average in 2016. Todd Gurley hit that number 10 times. There were only 9 running backs who hit that number more often than he did. So while he lacked upside, he gave you consistency at a very inconsistent position. So for me, it was the absolute floor for Gurley. And the reason, Mike, that I'm okay with drafting him is because there's zero competition, right? I'm not saying that Todd Gurley is all of a sudden going to become the player that people thought he was, but, you know, Lance Dunbar, Malcolm Brown, these guys are not going to challenge him for his job. He's one of the only running backs in the NFL that you can guarantee 300 touches from. And granted, they may not live up to that RB1 that he was drafted as last year. They may not live up to the RB5, but when you're paying an RB10 price, I'm comfortable doing that.
Yeah, and I get it. Like I said, I cannot possibly argue against the volume. It's just the draft price, and for the ceiling that I see of it just being so difficult to be a running back one on a bad team. And the yes, Rams are going to be bad. And the comparison of Jordan Howard, I think, is a very strong one because he's obviously going much higher in the draft. He's like a late first round pick, but it's. I saw consistently with Jordan Howard of the touchdowns weren't there, but at least the yardage was there. It wasn't he completely disappeared if he didn't score a touchdown. It was he's getting 90 plus yards per game. So I'm okay with Jordan Howard when we're talking Jordan Howard versus Todd Gurley, because I think that the floor is actually safer for what Jordan Howard can do. And once again, I understand I'm getting hot takey because I'm pretty anti-Todd Gurley. I'm not paying up. And I have to on the fantasy footballers, I have this fight every single day because Andy is a full believer in Todd Gurley coming back this year. So I'm not unused to this argument standing on my island against Todd Gurley.
A week ago, I had Gurley number 13 in my overall rankings. And I sat down and watched tape, and I moved him all the way back to 24. You need to just duct tape Andy in a chair and make him watch the tape because he is a horrible running back. He's the Blake Bortles of running backs.
Oh, I thought I was hot taken, but my fires have been extinguished.
You guys are insane. I mean, and I'll be fair. Mike, I'm with you actually in the fact that when Todd Gurley came into the NFL in 2015, I thought people overhyped him. I felt like it wasn't. I feel like Leonard Fournette is a special running back. Like, I seem to be on an island with that where people think he's really good. Where before I thought Todd Gurley, he'll be good. But I didn't think he was like the best prospect since Adrian Peterson, like people were saying. So I've never been a Todd Gurley fanboy. But at the same time, I'm not. It's, you know, we've made our points here. And I think that we all understand where we're coming from. It's just a matter of how much do you believe in Sean McVay and the changes that they've made to the offense. And I tend to believe in those just a little bit more. And I think it just raises his floor.
That's fair.
I think his floor is that RB15 range, but his ceiling, I don't think his ceiling is as high as people think. I think his ceiling may be in that RB7 to 8 range. So I think it's just like he is what he is. That's where I'm at on him.
So I've got two running back busts. And before I get to those, I want to talk about these best ball leagues that PlayDraft.com has been putting on. I just wrapped up another one right before we recorded the show, and I love my team. Tags, can you explain these best ball leagues?
Yeah, for sure. Best ball is the best thing to do before the season to get to get the pulse on where everybody's being drafted. It gives you an idea as to how you feel about certain players because, you know, you could say you like someone all you want, but when it comes down to it, when you're on the clock and you have to choose between players, that's when you're going to learn who you like and who you don't. So I've done over 50 best ball drafts this offseason, so I have a good pulse on, you know, who I like where, and that's why I say Todd Gurley in that range he's being drafted. It's a dark area. It's like, you know, you're just searching for some safety in that second round, and that's why I do own some Todd Gurley. So they're fun. It gives you a chance, like I said, to warm up before your actual fantasy football draft.
It's great for strategy. I'm a big strategy guy, and it just changes the whole ball game. You have to look at it thinking, you know, who is actually going to do really well a couple weeks and who's going to, be safe, and you have to balance it. It's just a different concept, and PlayDraft.com does this better than anyone else. I've been having a blast with their best ball leagues. Tags and I are actually going to be drafting against listeners every few days. So just make sure to follow us on Twitter at BobbyFantasyPro and at MikeTagliereNFL. That way you know when we're starting one, you can compete against us. We've also got a promo code for you. If you visit playdraft.com/fantasypros and sign up, you'll be entered into a best ball draft for free. That's playdraft.com/fantasypros. Okay, guys, I said that I have two running back busts. And the way I think about it is the people who tend to bust at running back, it's either injured guys, and you don't want to predict that. Like, you can't predict that, first of all, but, you know, or it's somebody who loses their job. So I'm looking at all these guys. Melvin Gordon, I think, is a lousy running back. Well, at least for one of the top 8 running backs. I don't think he's going to lose his job, though. DeMarco Murray, I mean, even if he plays worse than Derrick Henry, what are they going to do? Just stop handing the ball to Murray? He has to get hurt. Otherwise, he's going to be the starting running back. The guys I think could actually lose their job, Isaiah Crowell and Marshawn Lynch. I'm not saying Marshawn Lynch would lose his job, but just think about this, okay? Tags, you posted this interview the other day where Marshawn Lynch said he didn't miss football last year. If Marshawn Lynch gets an injury that most running backs would play through, are you telling me he's going to suffer through that injury to play a game that he doesn't even really care about? Maybe he'll just retire in the middle of the season. I've said that before, and I think that it's entirely possible. I just think there's quite a bit of risk that with Lynch that no one's talking about. Plus, we know he's not going to get 220 rushes. I think his ceiling is pretty low. I think his floor is extremely low. I think he's a bust. And Isaiah Crowell, I just don't think he's the best running back in that backfield. I think it's Duke Johnson. We've also been talking about they have 3 offensive linemen hurt. The only reason Crowell has any value is because of that offensive line. Their game scripts are going to be negative. I'm not a fan of taking Crowell in the 3rd round, and some people are taking him in the 2nd. I'd maybe take him in the 5th if he dropped.
that's interesting. Now, the Marshawn Lynch thing, Mike, I'm curious to hear your take on that. A lot of people are dismissing what I kind of retweeted out there and saying that it's Marshawn Lynch, you know, who cares? He's delivered before. He may not love the game or may not care about the game that much. I find it to be different than that, Mike. And I think there's a reason that he walked away. I don't think he wanted to play anymore. And he said that he didn't miss the game while he was away. That's like us, you know, like our job. Mike and I were talking before the show and how we can't get enough football. We never get sick of it, right? And, you know, I truly love what I do, and I think that's what makes me better at it, you know? So when you fall out of love with a game that you used to play or that you used to love, I think your talent, I think it's going to go by the wayside. You know, he's 31 years old. It's not like he's a spring chicken. How do you feel about Marshawn Lynch this year, Mike?
Man, I go back and forth on Marshawn, because I can see all sides of this story. And I mean, you got to stroll down Narrative Street, which is a dangerous place, but with Marshawn Lynch, that's what you have to do. You have all the injuries. You have the terrible last season in Seattle. You have his chronic back problem, and then a full retirement. He was done. The Seahawks were going to give him a lot of money to keep playing football, but he said, no, I'm done. However, Marshawn Lynch, from all accounts, loves his city. He loves Oakland. I had Marshawn Lynch coming back at a 0%, so I did not believe at all that he was willing to return. But I was wrong on that, and he's back. And I think a retirement in the middle of the season, I don't think he's going to do that, because I don't think he would quit on his city.
That's a good call. Yeah, I think you're right.
So the question is, how effective can he be behind Oakland's line? You talk about Crowell relying on the great Cleveland offensive line. Oakland is, it's similar. You saw Latavius Murray, who's, spoiler, he's bad. He's not a good running back, but he had fantasy value behind Oakland's offensive line. So surely Marshawn Lynch can, but I'm with you that the age concerns, the age and the injury concerns are, have him as a massive risk, risk rating for me, but the upside is so tempting. So if it's the third round, I'm okay jumping in with Marshawn Lynch there, because I don't see him quitting, and but massive risk, but massive reward. So he's going to be a plant your flag type of player this season, where he can easily get you over 10 touchdowns. If Marshawn ends the year with 12 rushing touchdowns, I don't think any of us would be shocked by that.
Right.
If Marshawn ends the year having only played two games, that's not going to shock any of us. So his range of outcomes are so extreme that has me not reaching for him, but if the price is right for Marshawn, I'm willing to go in on him.
I think that's fair.
So, Bobby, I want to mention one more running back, because I want to get Mike's take on it. Because we haven't talked too much about Christian McCaffrey on the show. For me, the stat I came across, did you know that there were just two running backs who finished inside the top 24 last year with fewer than 193 carries? Tevin Coleman was one. And he scored 11 touchdowns on 150 touches.
Yeah.
And then Bilal Powell was the other one. He caught 58 passes. So even if you say that Christian McCaffrey can catch that many passes, even if you could say, or you're like, you know, he could score 11 touchdowns, which we know is not going to happen. Despite that, he's being drafted as the number 15 running back. Those two running backs I just talked about, the highest finish there was Tevin Coleman with 11 touchdowns. He finishes the number 18 running back. So you're drafting him saying he's going to finish better than Tevin Coleman and Bilal Powell last year, who kind of overcame some things. That McCaffrey isn't going to get 150 carries. He's not going to get 11 touchdowns. It's going to be really tough to project him for 58 catches.
I'm saying 75 catches. I'm saying he gets 75 catches this year.
That's a hot take. That is a hot take. Now, Mike, what's your take on McCaffrey?
He's the best wide receiver on their team.
I'm not going to say that's not true, but Cam Newton doesn't target his running backs.
Yeah, and it's also, I apologize, but we're on another narrative street here, where we know from historical data that the Panthers with Cam Newton do not overly target the running back. But there's been so much talk.
He's a slot receiver.
Yeah, see, I think that he's more than that. I think he's actually a legitimately good running back, and who also is a great pass catcher. I think he's a really, really talented guy. I like Christian McCaffrey a lot, the player. You have to go back to the beginning of the offseason when the coaching staff for Carolina was talking about, we have to change how we play football here. We have to change how Cam Newton plays the quarterback position. And I know Cam's out here with his whole, you wouldn't let a lion run, or whatever the quote is. And guess what? The coaching staff is going to be pretty quick to say, Cam, you can't get hit like that anymore. Our entire season was ruined from you taking shots and holding the ball too long and taking unnecessary risks with your body. And so they talked about a lot about that. And then in the draft, they echoed that greatly by taking this running back who many consider his greatest skill to be a pass catcher. While we know that Cam was one of the worst quarterbacks when targeting shallow receivers and running backs last year on a passer rating basis. So it's, do you buy into the fact that Carolina can change Cam, change the way that he plays quarterback? I have McCaffrey projected slightly over that 150 carry mark you were talking about, Mike. So I believe that he will surpass that, but I have him at like 50 receptions. And the way that I have things projected, he does come out to be right around that running back 15 for me, and that could be his ceiling where I'm projecting him at, but I think that they're going to use him. I think Jonathan Stewart is old busted. I'm not buying into the fact that we're going to give Stewart the same carries he got last year. That's nonsense. You don't spend a top high equity first round pick on a running back to give your old busted running back 250 carries. That makes no sense to anybody.
Maybe you do that. Maybe that's why Gettleman got fired.
You know, Reggie right. Bush was drafted number 2 overall, and his rookie year he got 155 rushes, 742 receiving yards. He finished as the number 9 running back that year. This was back before they even passed to running backs. I'm not saying, you know, it's a different landscape now where every running back's catching passes, but Christian McCaffrey, I mean, even if he gets 150 rushes, I think he can be a top 12 running back. I'm not saying he's going to be. I'm saying that the upside is absolutely there.
I would think he'd need to get into at least the 175 territory to finish top 12. I think that's a minimum. And I think, and on top of that, he'd have to catch 50 balls. So that's for me. It's just like, he's just too expensive. Way too expensive, especially for a rookie, for a lot of ifs. You know, we're expecting a lot of ifs there. And, you know, Jonathan Stewart getting extended before they even drafted McCaffrey is a little telling in the fact that, you know, it's kind of like the whole Julian Edelman thing, right? Where you wanted to write him off because Cooks got there and, oh, they're probably going to move on from Edelman. Well, then they go ahead and extend him. So there's a whole lot of questions here, and it's just too much for a top 15 running
back. Guys, Duke Johnson caught 61 balls his rookie year. Christian McCaffrey's a much better receiver than Duke Johnson. He's going to be playing
different
in the slot.
Different system.
Yeah, it is a different system, but McCaffrey's going to be playing in the slot for 60% of the game, and the other time he's going to be in the running back. I just think, you know, saying he might get 50 receptions, he's going to get at least 50. It's how high he'll go, I think.
Well, ProSize is a better receiver, too. Like, ProSize is probably, I don't say he's not as agile as McCaffrey, but he's as good as a receiver in terms of hands.
But ProSize isn't going to be on the field for 75, 80% of the snaps.
I don't think McCaffrey is, though, either. That's my problem.
Okay. Yeah, I think he will be. I think he'll be on the field more than anybody in their offense.
I want to sidetrack the conversation just real quick, because me and Tags have talked about other rookies on the tweeter. This was touted as a legendary running back class. Are there any of the rookies that you're actually willing to pay up for, Mike?
Fournette
is you're still in on him?
He's special. I think that's the best way for me to put it. He's special. I think I like Mixon's talent. I think he is talented, but Bobby and I've actually gone back and forth with a few guests on the show with Bobby. They're all willing to take Mixon, you know, in the second or third round, whereas
am not taking him in the third. I'm not taking him in the second. I'll take him in the late third. Don't let me in with Sealy.
Definitely second. He's throwing Sealy under the bus. No, but seriously, I'm not. Mixon is in too much of a timeshare for me, whereas Fournette, I actually believe they do want to run the ball. I believe they have the defense to allow them to do that. The Jaguars' defense is the top 5 defense in the NFL, as far as I'm concerned. So when you have that type of defense, if they can bury Bortles, if they can get him off the field, it only helps Leonard Fournette, seriously. Chad Henne's a game manager, and it should actually help Leonard Fournette maybe catch a few more passes out of the backfield. He's not a pass catcher per se, but in standard formats, I like Fournette in the second round for sure.
Yeah, I like Fournette. I'll take Mixon at his third round ADP. I'm fine with that. I'm reaching for Jamal Williams big time. I'm reaching for Kareem Hunt. I love Chris Carson, only taking him in deeper leagues, obviously, and Corey Clement, who we talked about earlier.
How do you feel about the rookies, Mike?
I have them projected, you know, well, I have, like I talked about, I have McCaffrey right around that 14, 15 area. I have Fournette at 16, but I think the ADP is way too high, really, for all of them, because there's glaring problems for all of them. I'm with you on Joe Mixon on the timeshare. Just go back to Gio Bernard's rookie year. You had Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, like the corpse of Ben Jarvis, running out there, just plodding along, being awful. But Marvin Lewis is still all about it. He's like, yeah, you go get some more carries, Ben Jarvis. Meanwhile, Gio, whenever every single time he touches the ball, something electric was happening. Then you go to the next year. Gio Bernard was clearly, he couldn't be a lead rusher. You had Jeremy Hill, who was making things happen, and then, of course, exploded once he finally got the opportunity. So I just, Marvin Lewis and his propensity to continue to give the ball to bad running backs or bad players because they're veterans and burying rookies as long as he can, that has me freaked out of drafting a guy like Mixon in the third round. And Fournette, it just smells like Todd Gurley all over again, where the floor will be safe, but the ceiling is not much higher than that floor. It's going to be right in that running back 2 pocket, so I'm not going to pay a second round price for a guy that I don't believe can be top five.
Gotcha.
I think Fournette's light years ahead of Gurley, but you know, we would have said that about Gurley compared to somebody else when he was a rookie.
Yeah, remember when we were having these conversations about Trent Richardson? You're like, well, Todd Gurley is so much better.
Yeah.
Oh my
yeah.
God. There was a I can't remember who it was. It was a veteran on the defensive side of the ball. The Jaguars came out and said Leonard Fournette is special in terms of, you know, like his speed and size. But they say that the best thing about him is his vision. They were like, you know, his eyes are always going to the next spot where you don't know where he's going to be. And it's a massive compliment coming from one of the veterans. You know, I mean, watching him with the hand in his ball, like the ball in his hands, it's just, like I said, I wasn't excited about Gurley. Trent Richardson, really, I kid you not, if you were to go back and find an article I wrote back before he came into the NFL, I wasn't a Trent Richardson fan. I've always shied away from these top-tier running backs for whatever reason, but Fournette, I am all in on. And if I'm wrong on him, you guys can come at me in the next 2 years, but I'm telling you, the kid's special.
Were you a big Ryan Matthews fan when he came out?
Matthews, that was actually not too long after I started playing fantasy football. Okay. So I wasn't writing at that point, so I can't really say one side or the other, but I could tell you this, I didn't draft him top five like some people were, though.
Yeah, that was nuts. And Sean Green that year, too. Both of those running backs were major busts. Okay, so Mike, who's your bust at wide receiver this year?
All right, guys, I've talked about Dez Bryant before in the show, so I'm not going to do that again. You guys know that I don't like him this year. But I have two busts at the wide receiver that I'm avoiding. One is Alshon Jeffrey. The other one is Julian Edelman. Edelman, I think it's obvious, but I'm going to kind of share my thoughts here because it seems like it's an unpopular opinion to have Edelman outside the top 30 wide receivers like I do. His finishes in standard leagues where this ADP is taken from, he's being drafted as like the wide receiver 22 right now. Over the last 4 years, Edelman's finishes wide receiver 22, 37, 27, and 18 back 4 years ago. Keep in mind that during those 4 years, Rob Gronkowski has missed 19 games and Edelman averaged 10 targets per game. So let me get this straight.
And Cooks wasn't there.
Exactly. Well, Edelman's best finish was wide receiver 18 4 years ago. The Patriots traded for Cooks, are getting back a healthy Rob Gronkowski. They signed Mike Gillisley and Rex Burkhead. They traded for Dwayne Allen and they extended James White. Oh, but Edelman is certain to live up to the same production that he had in 2016 when he finished as the number 22 wide receiver.
Wrong.
Give me a freaking break.
Yeah. Yeah. Right now, his ADP is number 24 among wide receivers. Experts have him at 28, which I think is way too high still. But it should tell you everything you need to know. The experts are much lower on him than the general public. Mike, what do you think about Edelman?
I'm still in on Julian Edelman. We talked about the extension to Jonathan Stewart meaning something. I think that the extension to Julian Edelman meant something as well. For the bust, I would even consider throwing out Brandon Cooks. I don't understand why people are so willing to anoint Brandon Cooks, who has made he's not made an upgrade. If anything, he made a lateral move when in terms of quarterback and quality of targets and everything. And Brandon Cooks vanishes from games. I mean, do recall there was a game last year where Brandon Cooks didn't catch a ball, and Drew Brees, the most accurate quarterback in the history of the NFL, is throwing passes to him. It's because Brandon Cooks is, I think that he relies on his speed. If he can't outrun you, he's not going to outwork you as a like the tactician part of being a wide receiver. So I still buy into Julian Edelman getting around that 18-20% of the target share. And while he's may not be the greatest standard play, I still think he'll be perfectly fine in PPR because there's a connection there, I think, that only grows. That time is the only thing that can set that up with Tom Brady and the timing of routes. Brandon Cooks he'll finish strong. I always make the comment about Cooks that he's going to finish probably as a low end wide receiver one, but it's not going to feel like it when you have to start him every single week and he just absolutely destroys you. Where Julian Edelman, he'll just be safe and have a nice floor, but that's what you're drafting him. That's what you're drafting Edelman for. You're not drafting Edelman to be a top 20 type of guy. He just is. It's all about that roster construction you were talking about earlier, Mike. And I think that Edelman fits in nicely for nearly every single construction.
Well, that's the thing. So, I mean, I'm not that, and he's one of those wide receivers in PPR. I'm willing to move him up for sure. But based on standard formats, I can't see the appeal here in terms of, you know, being drafted almost at his ceiling and taking for granted that Rob Gronkowski and Brandon Cooks aren't going to steal some of the production he's had over the last few years. So I also happen to believe that Rex Burkhead and Mike Gillisley are going to make impressions in this offense. And James White is fantastic. I'm so glad that was shown on the national stage. But in terms of PPR, I am willing to move him up in those leagues, but not nearly as high as some people do, because some people are willing to take him in the third or fourth round in PPR formats.
No. Oh, no.
I'm not there.
Yeah, Brandon Cooks, I like him in standard leagues as well. It's interesting. We've had disagreements on like every single player amongst the three of us. Brandon Cooks right now, yeah. Wide receiver 13. Last year, he finished as wide receiver 8. In terms of points per game, he was wide receiver 6. You know, and like you said, he's making a parallel move. I think he goes to another Hall of Fame quarterback, another crowded system. They gave up a ton to get him. I think they're going to utilize him. He's still extremely young, so I think he's getting better too. I just think he's probably going to end up right there around wide receiver 7 again.
Yeah, I would disagree with they gave up a ton for him. I mean, they gave up the last pick in the first round. You don't get a receiver with the skill, the athletic ability, and the already proven production like Brandon Cooks, despite what all my, the negative things I just said about him, but like an experienced player for the last pick of the first round. I mean, that's,
well, they give a third too. So it was a first fair, and a third fair for him. But I think the reason they got him for that cheap is just because of the whole 1 year left on the deal thing.
Yes.
And it was clear that he was going to opt out of his rookie deal because he was unhappy. And that's another layer on this whole Brandon Cooks thing is I want to toss on there is that everybody knows it wasn't a secret that Brandon Cooks wanted more targets and that he was unhappy. So going, New England knew this, obviously trading for him. So, I mean, it's hard for me to see him getting anything less than 117 targets like he got in New Orleans last year. So, like I said, it's just Edelman's not going to go away. Just because, you know, they did re-sign him. That forced me to go back and say, okay, maybe I need to work some things around here. But if anything, I think Edelman being extended, it took some things away from like Chris Hogan and Malcolm Mitchell, you know.
Okay, here's my bust. It's T.Y. Hilton. It's not that I think T.Y. Hilton's really that bad. It's just if Andrew Luck gets hurt, there's a pretty good chance he's going to end up hurt. I mean, he might start out hurt for the first 6 weeks. You're telling me if you have Scott Tolzien tossing him the football, that T.Y. Hilton's still a top 10 wide receiver? I don't think so at all. I don't know if he's a top 20 wide receiver if Andrew Luck's not their quarterback. He's plenty talented. Don't hear me wrong, but I don't think he's more talented than a Terrell Pryor, than an Allen Robinson, Demaryius Thomas, Golden Tate, Larry Fitzgerald. The only reason T.Y. Hilton's a top 10 guy is because of Andrew Luck. And if Andrew Luck's not there, it's over.
Oh, yeah. If Scott Tolzien, if Andrew Luck is placed in the pup list and misses the first 6 weeks and Scott Tolzien is thrown in the football, T.Y. Hilton should not be drafted as a top 20 wide receiver.
Yeah, I don't even know how to pronounce his name. That's how bad the quarterback is.
He's not very good. I think we can agree on that. I think we all saw that on National Thanksgiving last year. So, Mike, who's your bust at the wide receiver position?
All right, I'm throwing him out. I'm not calling him a bust, but I'm calling him a guy that I'm not drafting for his particular price. It's Amari Cooper, and everyone's ready. Everyone is ready to say this is the year that Amari Cooper breaks out. Pretty much similar to last year when everyone said, this is the year that Amari Cooper breaks out. Last year, Amari Cooper, seven times was a wide receiver 2 or better. All those other weeks, he was a wide receiver 3 or worse, and you're talking way worse. Like, plenty of times.
Sounds like Stephon Diggs.
Plenty of times as a wide receiver 4, except the difference between Diggs and Cooper is about 6 rounds in your draft. So Amari Cooper is being drafted ahead of Michael Crabtree, who's still killing it. What are people doing with Crabtree? He's great. He gets end zone targets from Derek Carr, unlike Amari Cooper. And the hypothesis, at least I'm stealing this from Matt Harmon, who for NFL.com, if you don't know who Matt Harmon is, he does terrific study on receivers. Yep. Amari Cooper grades out as one of his worst contested catch rate guys. If Amari Cooper is getting battled for the ball, if he hasn't separated, then he catches the ball about half the time. Meanwhile, Michael Crabtree grades out as one of the better receivers in that. So if you want an explanation of when it's crowded in the red zone, in the 10 zone, why is Amari Cooper not getting a target? Maybe it's because Derek Carr doesn't think that he can actually catch the ball. So he turns to guys like Michael Crabtree. He turns to Seth Roberts, which, I mean, that sounds like lunacy, right? But Amari Cooper's just not getting
20 times last year in the red zone.
Yeah.
20 times to Roberts.
Exactly. That's the point where it's so people are, they're ready. They're projecting Amari Cooper. This is the season. I don't think Amari Cooper's a bad wide receiver. I think that he is an excellent wide receiver, but I'm not ready to project this is the transcendent year where he joins the group of elite players. Meanwhile, the better wide receiver on the team is drafted two or three rounds later. At least Crabtree's not getting that eighth round disrespect like he got last year, but he's still fourth or fifth round pick, and I would rather have Crabtree if I had to pay the exact same ADP.
I'm no longer friends with you, Mike. We have a big divide here. In reality, I did a study, and I wanted to look at Michael Crabtree and like from a non-biased like thing, because I'm a huge Amari Cooper fanboy. I'm not going to deny that. He did add 10 pounds of muscle this offseason. Apparently, he knew his red zone struggles were a real thing. He wanted to put on some weight so he can beat press coverage just a little bit better than he has. But with that being said, Crabtree, I looked differently. Over a 5-year sample, I went and looked at wide receivers, at the top 30 wide receivers from every season, right? 150 possible spots. Do you know how many wide receivers finished with less than 7 yards per target in the top 30? There were just 6% of them. 6%. That's all. Michael Crabtree has somehow done it with 6.3 yards per target and 6.9 yards per target the last two seasons. Last year, he scored astronomical 55 fantasy points in the red zone compared to just 13 the prior year. With his yards per target dipping like it is below 7 yards per target, when Amari Cooper has the same yards per target as Odell Beckham, you're going to start slowly transitioning your targets in a different way, right? Michael Crabtree, over the last two seasons, has seen 146 and 145 targets. The fact that he hasn't finished better than he has is a little worrisome, considering the touchdown production he's had. But for me, I'm betting on a drop-off now. Crabtree's not going away, for sure, but Amari Cooper, I mentioned, he doesn't feel like a second-round pick, right? And I'm with you on that, Mike, but at the same time, that second round, we talked about it. I mean, we talked about Gurley on the show. We talked about Fournette. We talked about Amari Cooper now. So it's like that second round, these are all players who are in that tier. Dez Bryant fits in there, too. And it's just, again, we're talking about players who you don't feel comfortable with. So I think Cooper is the one who is, you know, like I said, on the upswing of his career.
I can't believe I'm coming down in the middle on Cooper, because I've been a Cooper hater this whole preseason, but, you know, I've come around a little bit, and he was the number 12 wide receiver last year with no touchdowns, basically, and I think he probably gets a few more touchdowns this year, so I think he'll probably end up around that 12 range again. He's being drafted number 10 right now. I've got him a little lower than that, but I don't know. I don't really see him being a bust. I think he's pretty safe. And to Mike's credit, he did say he's not a bust. He just said he's not taking him at that ADP.
Right, and that's fair. I understand that point, too, actually.
Okay, guys, we're going to have to blitz through quarterbacks and tight ends, so why don't we do it this way? No response. You guys just list the guys that you think are going to be busts. We've already talked about, I'll start us off. We've already talked about Cam Newton as a bust, mm-hmm. Derek Carr as a bust.
Oh, we're friends again.
you're a Derek Carr bust guy?
Well, both Cam and Derek Carr. Derek Carr is just, he's going to go too high in home leagues for me, for a guy who absolutely dips off into the shadows when he has to play his division foes, which
ADP number 7 for Derek Carr. I have him number 17.
Ridiculous. He has to play Denver twice, still has to play the Chiefs twice, and the Chargers, who have improved and will have Verrett back. I mean, they're better. He vanishes against them. So I'm not,
and the best pass rush in football.
I'm not willing to go in on him. And I just Cam is, if Cam's rushing production goes away, Cam Newton's not a top fantasy quarterback. So, and I think that the rushing's going to continue to move down.
Any other busts that you guys have at the quarterback position? I'm also not super fan of Jameis Winston in the top 10.
Won't
call him a bust.
Jameis was who I was going to throw out. And it's being drafted too early for a guy he's never finished as a quarterback. One, he's got talent. He's got upgraded weapons. I agree with Tags that DeSean Jackson will mark an improvement for his fantasy production this season, but until he fixes those bad decisions, and he makes bad decisions all the time, we've already seen it in the preseason, he's going to have too many turnovers, And you also have seen it in Hard Knocks where he had that one-on-one with his coach who's like, hey, just don't lose the game for us, please. I mean,
would you rather have Andy Dalton or Jameis Winston in fantasy?
Andy Dalton by a lot.
Me too.
By a lot.
At the same ADP, I would take Andy Dalton. What about you, Tags?
I'm an Andy Dalton fan, and I would still take Jameis Winston slightly before him. I think the ceiling's a little bit higher. His weapons are more, I guess I would say, groomed than Andy Dalton's, whereas like he's going to have to wait on John Ross. Joe Mixon's still a rookie. It may take some time to establish some continuity with those guys, whereas Jameis Winston, DeSean Jackson, Mike Evans, that's like the best 1-2 punch in football, maybe outside of Antonio Brown and Martavis Bryant. But, you know, I think I'm okay with both of them, actually. I think I'm okay drafting Jameis or Dalton. I think the ones that I'm avoiding, Cam Newton, you guys mentioned it. I'm not a Cam fan. We could talk about that a different day. But Philip Rivers, he's not going to be on any of my fantasy teams. And the reason is I think we can all agree that we don't carry two quarterbacks in our drafts. We don't draft two quarterbacks, right? So Philip Rivers, you do not want to play him in week one against the Broncos. That's on the road. You do not want to play him in week three against the Chiefs. He has not scored more than 14 fantasy points against them in the last 3 years. You don't want to play him week five on the road against the Giants. You don't want to play him in week seven against the Broncos again. The list kind of goes on up until his bye week. So for Philip Rivers, for me, he's someone that you should not be drafting at all. I don't care if he falls to the 16th round. Don't take him because he's going to take up a bench spot while you're, you know, picking up some other quarterback to start that week. I think you can get him for much cheaper midway through the season.
So at tight end, my only guy is Delanie Walker. I just think, you know, adding Eric Decker, adding Corey Davis, Delanie Walker's getting ancient. They're a running team. I just don't see him finishing with anywhere near as many targets this year.
The problem with Delanie Walker is he's fine, but the top three upside is not there. But you have to pay up for him because people know the name Delanie Walker, and he will be just fine for you. But meanwhile, you could have taken a Frank Gore, which I'd rather have Frank Gore chilling on my bench.
Me too.
Than rolling out Delanie Walker every single week. So it's just the draft price for Walker has me out. But I mean, to be fair, the draft price for most tight ends has me out, which the name I'm going to throw out is Martellus Bennett. I don't get it. I get the player. I think he's a good tight end. I don't get the move to Green Bay, people thinking that all of a sudden Aaron Rodgers is just going to start targeting his tight end with high frequency when he has Jordy. He loves Devontae Adams. As much as the fantasy community wants to destroy and besmirch the name of Devontae Adams, Aaron Rodgers likes him, and that's really all that matters when it comes down
for
football.
You're right.
I don't see him targeting Martellus to the point of him being a usable tight end one. He may finish like Richard Rodgers. Remember when Richard Rodgers finished as a tight end one? Was there ever a single week when
you
used Richard Rodgers? No,
it was that you felt comfortable using him.
Yeah, and maybe you played him against the Lions and he won you a week. And you love Richard Rodgers. But while Bennett is a better player than Rodgers, I don't see it in a possible range of outcomes where Bennett is a weekly starter. And it's going to be he goes off for two touchdowns on your bench. You plug him in for the next 3 weeks. You bench him. He goes off. He's going to be that type of a player. So I'm not paying a seventh round pick or anything like that for Bennett.
I like Bennett. I think the upside's there. But the one that, I mean, without getting too much, because we kind of run out of time here, but I'll just throw in my bust or my one that I'm avoiding. OJ Howard, why are you drafting a rookie tight end?
We're friends again.
I forgot to even mention him because he's like 26th on my list.
Yeah, he's like number 12. His ADP is still number 12 somehow. I don't get it. He wasn't even my number one tight end in dynasty formats. David Njoku was. And, you know, they've already said that Cameron Brait is not going away. And they already showed that in the preseason game where they were kind of splitting a lot of the snaps. And when you're splitting snaps as a tight end, you're not going to finish as a top 12 tight end.
Okay, Mike, well, that's all we have for the show. Really appreciate you coming on. It was a blast as always, man.
Oh, I appreciate the invite, fellas.
So next week we're going to be joined by number one most accurate expert Sean Corner, then John Brown of the Arizona Cardinals is coming on later in the week, so make sure to tune in for those. Thanks again to the sponsors of today's show, playdraft.com/fantasypros and yourrules.com. Remember to get your entries in for the Listener League and sign Melvin Gordon jersey from pristineauction.com. For Mike Tagliere, I'm Bobby Sylvester. Thanks for listening and enjoy your football. I just wanted you to watch me dissolve slowly in a pool full of your love. I don't even know how the chemistry works when I
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge Podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge Podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.